The scripture reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. This can be found on page 1150 of the Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. And the Apostle Paul is writing about himself. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Amen.
I'm not a product of the Church of Scotland. And that comes as a surprise to some in conversation. For somewhere along the line, an assumption is made that if you're a minister, then there must be a deep-rooted connection with the Kirk, as it's often known. Not so in my case. I didn't become a Christian in that context, and having become a Christian, I had my own preconceptions, my own assumptions, my own barriers concerning the church of which I'm now a part. All of that was, and is, perhaps, understandable. As a young person, and as a young Christian, I believed that the life of God lay elsewhere. In other fellowships, other Christian communities, and even other denominations. And so, for the first 14 years of my Christian life, I was elsewhere. I knew Christ, I was growing in Christ. I was free, but I was also hitting a barrier, an invisible barrier, one that somehow prevented me from being released as I sensed and believed that I should or could. That's when I encountered the ministry of Jesus in a different way, through people who had experienced the freedom that Jesus brings, but amplified, so much so that their vocabulary spoke of wholeness and well-being, of release, and in the most gentle of ways, that's what I encountered. As Jesus became real to me, but this time afresh, and more so as the Holy Spirit became known all the more. It was in the midst of that I encountered them. For some of these people were ministers in the Church of Scotland, and that was a revelation. What's more, I began to encounter more and more of them. And what's more, there was a message that God was sending through them. The first part was to say, it's time to get involved in your local Church of Scotland. But then there was a second part, and it involved the purpose of it all. Because the clear sense that I took time after time from that time was that God was at work within the national church. More than that, I came to believe that God would bring revival through it. And that feeling, that sense, that belief remains. It's as firm in my mind and heart today as it was then. And that, to cut a long story short, is why I'm wearing this clerical shirt. It's why I do what I do. It's why I've done what I've done. It's why I'm now in Dundee. And it's why I'm here. For what God seeks to do is to bring His life through His church, reaching and touching families and communities, influencing all that make up the structure of our society, in every way, in every town, in every area, in every part of the nation. And I believe it's the Church of Scotland that's best placed to fulfill that possibility. Yes, God is at work through His church universal. But in the context of this nation, it's the national church that could and should be most of influence. And I believe that God is making it so. That's what I shared with the students at Dundee University 2 weeks ago. And it's more than wishful thinking. For the Church of Scotland is a product of a significant move of God. Originally, it was born out of the Reformation. And in the context of Scotland, that took on a particular shape and form. It was evangelistic. It was prophetic, and it was social in its sphere of influence. History doesn't entirely look kindly upon it for a variety of reasons. Yet God has been at work and continues to do so. More than that, I believe that we are entering times when His work will be known all the more, revealed all the more, as His church awakens and as it re-engages with all around it, all in distinctive ways. And in its own local context, whatever and wherever that might be. But with that comes a certain perspective, and it's a biblical perspective. It's what the Apostle Paul advocated himself. For he was the first to say that he had certain rights. Yes, he was free. Yes, he had been bestowed the status of an apostle. Yes, he had encountered Jesus face to face. And yes, there was fruitfulness through the ministry he had exercised. Yet, he was prepared to relinquish those rights for a greater good. Why? Because of freedom. Freedom to think differently. Freedom to respond as God has called. Freedom from past boundaries or expectations. Freedom to recognize the moving of God's Spirit at any given time. And freedom to accept God's redemptive desire and plan. All of which enabled freedom to adapt and to respond. It's true that Paul was building the church of his time, be it in Corinth or elsewhere, but Paul's churches were staging posts. For those who became Christians, they were a place to come, to grow, to develop, to reach out and to go out. Their pattern was circular and repetitive, but not in an inward way, rather outward instead. So that these churches were always growing, always changing, always adapting. Why? Because they were founded not only on Jesus Christ, but on the mission of God, with a desire to reach out. That took Paul to every people group of his time. And what we find in his words within 1 Corinthians is a description and an attitude towards mission. For first and foremost comes a recognition that there is nothing else more important. But how it's achieved is also important. In Paul's case, he cited his fellow Jews. Jewish belief was still of influence in the emerging church, and with it came dangers of confusion about belief and practice. This was a challenge which had to be refuted, and was often. Yet Paul's abiding concern was for Jesus to be known by his fellow Jew. To that end, when amongst the Jewish people, he acted as if he was a Jew, conforming to their customs under the law, even although, as a Christian, he was no longer obliged to keep that same law. But there was also the Gentiles, the majority population of his time. And yet again, Paul was prepared to identify with them. Yet throughout, Paul's principles remained. The Gentiles may have disregarded the law, but there was no guarantee of their recognizing divine law either. And so the apostle made clear that the authority of God and of Jesus was always his benchmark. Despite this, we find the most incredible missional statement to be found in the New Testament, apart from perhaps the Great Commission of Jesus. More than that, we find the most incredible missional action and attitude. For Paul recognized God's desire. He got it and wanted to do all that he could to fulfill it. And for him, it became personal. It informed the very person that he became. And it was born out of a genuine love, care, and compassion for others. A love, care, and compassion that desired Jesus to be known, wherever that might be, and to whomever that might apply. This is a description of ministry that takes an interest, that gets alongside, that becomes a friend, that builds trust, that takes the first step, that lends a helping hand, that in time goes the distance, be it an extra mile or more. In other words, ministry that breaks through an invisible barrier, one that brings freedom to all who experience it. And it's that kind of ministry that's influenced by the Holy Spirit. For to want what Paul did, to have that kind of desire, and to have that sort of vision requires power, a sustaining, life-giving, transforming power. Because otherwise, how might Paul, or any one of us, or any person for that matter, sacrifice our own legitimate interests and preferences completely or unequivocally, all on behalf of someone else? The truth is that we can be a Christian, be it a product of the Church of Scotland or elsewhere. We can believe the right things and subscribe to those things. We can talk the talk and walk the walk, but to become all things to all people, for the sake of Jesus, is beyond us, humanly speaking, at least. Yet we find through Paul's example another truth, and we see it in the way in which the Spirit leads. For as we give him freedom and permission and liberty, we experience freedom ourselves. The kind that breaks habits, changes minds, soothes hearts, as well as heals and forgives. Then, as we experience that for ourselves, we become released all the more. And as we're released, the beginnings of what revival might be will also be released. And although God has no favourites, I have a sense, a feeling, a belief that he can and will work a wonder. One that will impact everyone around us. One that will become known throughout our land. One that will still involve the church represented in every community. And one in which you and I can share together as we come to recognize and know the blessing of the gospel. A blessing that brings freedom to you, to me, to the church, and to all who come to know it. Let us pray. Lord, help us by the gospel's grace and by the Holy Spirit's power to be free, released, empowered, and encouraged. All in Jesus' name, and all for your glory. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.